Oi, you. It's time for another episode of Dorothy and the Dealer. Let's tune into the conversation.
Ed Mills.
Well, what are we singing today, Mitchie?
I don't know, but I have that song in my head, you know. Do 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 do. You know it?
I know it, but I have no idea what
you know
it's
where
called.
It's mostly played.
Where is it mostly played? In elevators?
Yes. Very good. Whenever I get into an elevator and I'm listening to that track, I just have a little tap away. You know, I just tap away on my little right foot.
I was thinking, you know, in the planes when you're landing and they play the random.
Is it Frank Sinatra? Oh, very good.
Say it out in the microphone.
Frank Sinatra, the girl from Ipanema.
Ipanema.
Ipanema? Where's Ipanema? Is Ipanema in Italy?
I don't know. Maybe.
One of the monkeys will get back to us in a minute. Now,
isn't it? I was on the plane the other day and I was listening to the music. And I'm like, where is this from? Because it was like this piano kind of thing. And it was the song that Lola sang at her recital last year. Oh, but it was just done in a, you know, elevator style. And it took me ages to figure it out. Ages.
Don't you hate it when airplanes do that?
Anywho, what are we talking about today, Mitchie Moon?
We're talking about confidere and confidere.
Confidence.
Confidence, yep.
And there's a song about confidence.
Is there?
Yeah. I can't remember it now. Anyway, but.
Okay. What category does that put you into?
I won't even discuss that.
No. Okay, so the Latin word confidere, which basically means to have full trust in.
Confidence.
Yes, really? It means to have full trust in something. It's Latin meaning, its origin is confidere, which means to have full trust.
I did
trust
not know that. When did you figure this out?
When I looked on Google.
When, just now this second?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Just, that's why I have an iPad in front of me.
I thought you were.
That noise in the background is me pretending that I type really fast.
Okay, yeah, to have full trust. So talk about building confidence as a general thing.
Confidence is, everybody thinks that confidence, like it also can mean to confide, right? And to confide in someone.
Having confidence, confiding in somebody else.
Confiding in someone else. But self-confidence is being able to confide in yourself and in being able to trust yourself, right? Mm-hmm. And being able to trust that you have what it takes to handle any matter, any relationship, any family problem, any job, any career, any interview, any stage scenario, and any, so being able to handle any, having enough trust and to be able to confide in yourself that you're going to be able to handle a particular situation. So that is basically what confidence is. Mm-hmm. So the question is then, what do you see confidence is?
I don't know if it was confidence that it was talking about, but I saw something online a while back that said something about, I think they were talking about confidence. Confidence is about understanding that you're flawed and understanding that people aren't going to like you kind of thing, but being okay with that anyway. It's about knowing who you are and being 100% okay with who you are, like understanding that not everybody's going to like that necessarily, but not being so concerned about how the people see you that it diminishes you and it makes you play small and it makes you be you know, not anything at all. Does that make sense? Like, so it makes you be so small inside of yourself that you can't even be present. You can't even show up.
Right.
You can't show up.
Explain that again.
So understanding that you're flawed or that you're not perfect or that there's things about you that people don't like.
Yep.
But being able to show up anyway. Being able to be yourself anyway.
Yeah.
That's, to me, what confidence is. Understanding that, you know, there's things about me that you might not like.
Yeah.
But I can still be myself and I can still show up for myself anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And that it doesn't matter to me. It's not going to affect me that you as a person don't like those things about me.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm.
And I think that comes from – and so, you know, a lot of people that we work with say that they lack confidence in certain areas,
Well, they said that they lack confidence.
Well, they said that they lack confidence, yes.
Certain areas is another step altogether.
Well, you're right. You're correcting me because you're sort of a step ahead of what I'm about to say. So they say that they lack confidence, but the truth about it is that they lack confidence in particular areas.
Yeah.
And the truth about it is that their judgment on their lack of confidence is based on somebody else's values.
Yes.
It's based on how they perceive somebody will see them. So, for example, if let's say they're confident in the area of writing, you know, and somebody else's value is in the area of, I don't know, playing music, they will say that they lack confidence because they can't play music. But the truth about it is that they're confident in their writing. They're just not confident in somebody else's values and how somebody else appears to them. So that happens in all sorts of ways. It happens in, you know, saying, oh, I'm not confident to wear that outfit. That's just because they see or they've got a misjudgment about how other people see them in that outfit. Or I'm not confident to be able to speak to people. But they are confident to be able to speak to people, but just in the areas that are of value and of are their strengths, absolutely. And people often say that to me. They say, how can you speak to people? How can you stand on stage and speak to people? And I say, well, I wouldn't be able to stand on stage and speak to people about motorbikes. I would not be confident to do that because at the end of the day, I know nothing about motorbikes. But I stand on stage and speak to people, about things that I absolutely know and I absolutely love, and the topic inspires me. Mm-hmm. So I have confidence in that area. Mm-hmm. I just don't have confidence in speaking on stage about motorbikes, you know. So I think people have a misconception about what confidence
Well, the problem is that people go, I haven't got confidence, as you said, in one area, and they paint their whole lives with that.
Yes.
And so they kind of give themselves away. Mm. You know, they kind of, you know, they perceive, just because I haven't got this strength in this area, I haven't got strength in any areas. And one of the really cool and easy and very quick and effective ways to actually build a person's confidence, especially when you're dealing with kids, you know, because we see a lot of young people that go through this sort of stuff, is to get them to find somebody that they perceive as really confident and write down all the characteristics and traits that they see in that person. Mm. So all the things that they believe that that person shows as a strength or a characteristic, that they would group them into what we call confidence. And then get the kid to then find where they have that same quality and attribute. Mm. Now, at first, the kids normally go, I don't. So, no. Okay, you don't in the area that they have it, but where do you have that? Mm. And getting the kid to find where they have that particular characteristic and trait, and then getting the kid to go to a time and a space and a location where they've lived that out is a very, very rich exercise in getting kids to build confidence in themselves.
And that's good for adults as well, because as soon as you get specific about the times and spaces and locations, about where you have displayed those traits, you start to recognise them inside of yourself.
The other thing is that when you're infatuating with a person about something that they have or a quality that they have, so when you're infatuating in the outer world, you're resenting in the inner world. Mm-hmm. So this is why kids get low self-worth, because they resent themselves because they're infatuating with somebody publicly. So when you have a public infatuation, you've got a private resentment. Mm-hmm. So to flip that around, you have to flip the infatuation around inside of the kid or inside of the adult. And to do that, you have to turn their resentment into an infatuation or a blessing. Mm. And the way in which you do that, as I said, is to get them to locate the characteristics or traits in the other person, find where they have them, and then go to a time, a space, and a location where they've lived them out.
Absolutely.
Because this is why kids get depressed and down and, you know, they feel like they're not enough. It's because they haven't seen they've never given any esteem to where they are enough or to the qualities that they bring into the world.
And it's important that they find that.
That's why
themselves.
It's called self-esteem. Mm. You know, because you're esteeming yourself. Mm. It's no one else's job to do that. And that's another common misconception, that it's someone else's job to come in and
to
declare.
To make me feel this way.
Yeah, to declare your self-esteem. And it's no one else's job to declare your self-esteem.
But a common misconception about that parents have is that they can build their child's confidence or they can build their child's self-esteem.
Yeah.
But you cannot build it without adding to their low self-worth at the same time. So your child already has high self-esteem.
Yeah.
They just have it in an area that is not of your highest value. And that's a really, really important thing to note, because if you esteem academics because you weren't academic or because you were academic and you esteem that and your child is not confident in English and maths, it's because their confidence and their self-esteem lies somewhere else in the area that they value.
Yeah.
So it might be music or it might be sport or it might be social. It might be other aspects of their life that they are confident in and they have high self-esteem in. Mm. But if you try and build your child's high self-esteem in the area of your value, then you're going to add to their low self-worth in the area of their value.
Yep.
So you've got to make sure that when you're talking about your children or when you're talking about your children, you cannot build high self-esteem. You've already got high self-esteem, but your high self-esteem is in the area of your values. So your high confidence is in the area of your values. Therefore, just like me not being able to speak on stage, if I'm speaking about motorbikes because it's not in the area of my value, in the same way, you can't build confidence unless it's in the area of your value. So you need to figure out what are your values, what lights you up, what makes your heartbeat, what makes you feel alive, because guaranteed you will have confidence in those areas.
I think I was just thinking there that, you know, when kids are feeling that they haven't got the worth inside of themselves and parents are going, yeah, but you're strong, son, and you're intelligent. The kid is going, fuck you. What are you talking about?
I don't see it.
How can you say that to me? So it's, you can't take on that journey because that's actually a path to kind of destruction, because you're pushing the kid away. The kid doesn't trust you unless you get them to actually, unless you're able to show the kid where they've had that strength.
Mm.
You know, and when you do the exercises of sitting down with the kid and getting them to find, like I said earlier, getting them to find those qualities and show the kid where they've lived them out themselves, it then kind of happens naturally. You know, you can be with your kid and watch your kid do something and pick up on a quality and attribute that the kid didn't realize they had about themselves and point it out to the kid. So now you're building their self-worth at the coalface when you're spending time around them.
Mm.
Excuse me, and you're watching the kid and you're able to encourage the kid to actually do it themselves, you know, to start to realize, shit, you know what, I am smart, I am intelligent in this area or in this field. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And then when they do that, the more you do that, the more they require anybody else's approval.
Yes. Well, you know, the less that they require.
Sorry, the less that they require anybody else's approval, because they're finding that the only approval they ever need is their own.
Yeah.
You know, because that's where it has the greatest amount of emotional merit and weight.
So we talked a bit about kids, which is fine, but let's say we've got somebody who really feels that they don't have confidence in the area of speaking to people or in the area of I don't know, maybe putting themselves out online, you know, being visible online or academics or whatever that they do need to do in their job environment in order to be successful in that environment. How would you get them to build their confidence in that respect?
Well, I remember years ago, the first couple of years that I would go out on stage and speak, and I realized
years and years, hundreds of years ago,
I realized that best and most effective way to actually handle that was to actually go out on stage and own up to it on stage.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. To go out on stage and go, hey guys, you know what? I'm just going to own up to this one. This terrifies me, but you know what? I'm going to knock it out of the park anywhere. I'm going to give this a go anyway. And the first thing is to own it. You know, don't try to be something that you're not.
Right.
Go out on stage and actually talk about that part of you.
So if you've got to have a visible presence, say online or on stage or something, just to be able to own up.
Yeah, it doesn't mean you have to labour the fucking point.
Oh my God, guys, I'm so scared about doing this
because people just switch off. But going out and going, oh, okay, guys, this is putting myself out there, but here I go.
Yeah.
You know, just own up to it, you know, because otherwise people will smell it in you anyway.
And the other thing I would suggest as well is to figure out, okay, how is this, you know, when we have a bigger reason for things, some of the fears that we have diminish. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. We talk about this when we're talking about money, you know, when we're at Mastermind of Money and we're talking about, you know, when you have a greater reason, you would stop to pick up that 5 cents on the street.
Yeah.
Or you would not let anything get in the way of you achieving,
yeah,
you know, and getting money or, you know, doing what you need to do in order to step out of your comfort zone because you've got an outcome for it. It's the same with this. If you've got an outcome and a reason that's greater than you and you are really clear with your calling and your vision, then and you see the benefit to your calling and your vision that you have confidence and that you're able to do it. And remember, yeah, confidence isn't about doing it. It's not about not being scared. It's about being scared and doing it anyway.
Yeah.
You know, it's about understanding that maybe people won't like you, but it's okay. You're still going to get this done anyway. And that's what confidence is to me. That you would still get up on stage and you would do it, or you'd still go and do the presentation that's difficult for you to do, or you'd still put yourself out there online because there's a reason for you to do it. You have a mission that is so important to you that there's why would you not, you know? So I think that on top of making sure that you own up to it and making sure that I think that you have to be talking and yeah, working in the area of your values.
Yeah.
To be able to acknowledge what your reason is and why you're doing it is really important because your why, when your why is big enough, the rest of it takes care of itself at the end of the day, you know, because you're not going to let anything get in the way, including your confidence,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
because yeah, it doesn't make sense, yeah, to do that. Yeah. And in terms of your kids, it's about encouraging them in terms of their values. You know, I remember speaking to my nephew and he felt like he wasn't good enough at maths, but he was actually really clever at maths. He just was doing it his own way.
Right.
And it was just a matter of, okay, understanding and showing him that the way he was doing it was different, but it was okay, right, that he was different. Do you,
right,
know what I mean?
Right, right.
And with kids, it's super important that, in my opinion, that you don't just tell them, you show them. You help them to see it for themselves, just like you were saying before. There's no point saying, hey, you did this great, because they don't get that. They have to see it. You've got to encourage them to see it for themselves.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay.
I think that's cool.
I've loved it.
I think just to finish off, I know we kind of sort of finished there, but I think that it's delusional for people to think that just because other people are doing what they perceive takes confidence, that everybody is feeling confident 100% of the time.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? People look at, like I said to you before, people ask me how I go on stage and I go, well, because I love it, firstly. But that doesn't mean I'm every single minute I'm confident. Do you know, yeah, what I mean? It doesn't mean that every single moment,
yeah,
I'm 100% sure of myself, because I still have doubts and, yeah, I still have those moments. But having those moments and pushing through them is what makes.
But and even like even when I'm jumping on stage, I've got to talk about a new topic. You know, I know I'm not completely, you know, I'm not completely across this. But I'm normally, you know, I am completely across it. It's just I'm not.
You've never taught it before.
I've never taught it before.
And
I'm
not.
You know, I may have to, you know, back up on what I've said and rejig it again and fix it and get the, you know, get it delivered in that moment different correctly way. But I'm okay with that.
And the other thing I will say as well is that sometimes I used to play the piano.
Oh.
You know, I played the piano, and yeah, when I was younger I used to play the piano in church.
You're a pianist.
No, not really. But I played the piano, and I remember I would be so devastated that I'd made all these mistakes and I, yeah, didn't do it right, and then everyone would say how great I was because, yeah, nobody notices it. And the reason that nobody noticed it was because I didn't just in the middle, as soon as I made a mistake, I didn't just stop.
Right.
You know, I carried on. And sometimes you got to just carry on. You got to just carry on as if it's okay. Do you know, yeah, what I mean? Nobody, just because let's say you had rehearsed something and it doesn't turn out the way you rehearsed it, nobody else knows that. You know that,
yeah,
but it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know, you just.
Or even own the mistake. I mean, when we're, yeah, on stage sometimes, and we're talking and I'll mess it up, I get a slow, a,
yeah, yeah,
wrong.
We'll own it up. Well, it's normally you that messes it up.
Yeah, I mess up a lot. but you know, we'll normally
be able to correct
and
it.
Have a laugh about it. And, yeah, then, you know, people admire you for your genuineness and they look up to you for your ability to be yourself, you know, and to be able to actually you know, show the human side of yourself, you know.
And I think sometimes...
And most of the great, like most of the wealthiest people in the world are really bad speakers. Like they're, you know, they, that's some one of the areas, like Richard Branson is really not a great speaker. You know, Donald Trump is really not a great speaker, you know.
And I think
Zuckerberg, really not a great speaker.
I think that...
Steve Jobs, really not a great speaker.
You're going to interrupt me again, aren't you?
Yeah.
I think... I think now I've forgotten what I was going to say.
Oh, brain fart.
Oh, right? No, oh, you interrupted me with all these people.
It was obviously very good.
I can't remember.
Okay, let's just say goodbye then.
All right.
Goodbye, everybody.
If you found this information inspiring, make sure you subscribe and tune in to the next Dorothy and the Dealer podcast.